flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Newell, you did not pick that song, did you?
That's DJ El Camino sitting next to me, Michael Heck with GNO Inc. The GNO Inc. thing is just really a side job to the DJ gig.
It's a cover. It's a fallback. It's a fallback.
It's a fallback.
You know,
what an appropriate song, because no one does it like this.
They're not like us. I mean, it's, you know, I was just hearing about the media party last night, and I've been talking to folks around. I was actually talking to a delegation from Australia this morning, and they're just astounded at how the Super Bowl in New Orleans is not an event. It's what the city becomes. I mean, it's a total takeover on a mutual basis, and it energizes, you know, both.
Yeah, it's. I was just saying off air, if last night's party doesn't move the media, nothing will.
Yeah, I mean, can you tell folks about what happened last night at the party?
It was great. We talked about it earlier.
All right, sorry.
He can't tell everything.
All right.
You know, but I had to get out of there early because it could go bad. But they had so many things. I mean, the food was just incredible. I was telling someone, I ran into T. Martin when I walked in. And you know how many events she's covered. I mean, she's been a great corporate partner. The whole family has. And just so excited about being there.
Yeah.
About, you know, doing it on behalf of the city. Yeah. You know, and just.
I've been asked about the feeling that I have about this. And I have a bit of like the Mardi Gras inside the box feeling, where it's that energy and slight nervousness about how you're going to get around to such a density of events. The other way that I feel, the other emotion, is one I haven't felt in a long time. It's that feeling I felt 25 years ago on the night before, or the hour before we opened the doors to our first restaurant the first time. It's anticipation, it's excitement, but I think it's also pride, a growing sense that, you know what, I think we're going to do this better potentially than anybody else. And, you know, we still have to get through it, but it's feeling good right now, Newell.
I think so. I mean, I think everybody has been very excited. A lot of folks have been a little angst and anxiety about traffic. I'm going to tell you, I drove down last night to go to the party, did not catch any traffic at all, came from Old Mattery, took me about 8 minutes, you know, and it just...
I think what's happened, this is for people to understand, is that there was a lot more congestion a few days ago last week because the construction projects were finishing up.
Yeah.
They've all been demobbed now. They've been cleared out. So now all you have is Poydras Street in front of the dome is shut down. They're using it. But generally the city is either open, or like Convention Center Boulevard, one lane is open. I wouldn't drive down here gratuitously, but I just drove over here and got a parking spot. It wasn't bad.
Yeah, a lot of folks are... texting in saying, if we bring our kids down to NFL Experience, where can we park? The same places that you would park if you came to a Mardi Gras ball. There's, you know, flat lots all around here. You can get to them. There's no impediment.
There's still street level parking.
Yeah. Right.
They're available around the downtown area. So,
and then actually important for people to listen, on Friday and Saturday, there's going to be the park and ride. So $10 round trip and kids under 12 ride free. And that's going to pick up from Audubon, from Delgado, from New Orleans East, and from Oakwood on the West Bank. And that's a great way to get down and not worry about it.
So obviously you've been interacting with a lot of folks, I'm sure, with the NFL and others. Their reaction thus far?
You know, I've been talking and texting with folks from the NFL, and I think it goes all the way up to the top to Roger Goodell when he was talking in D.C., and he said, you know, nobody is like New Orleans because we've got a density that no other city provides. I mean, you know, next year when they do it in San Francisco, the stadium is literally 45 minutes away. I think it's like a different time zone. It's in San Jose. So literally, to go to the game in San Francisco, you should fly into a different city. That's how remote it is. The second thing is that the culture of this place. I mean, look, every place is going to try to create their ersatz Bourbon Street and their culture. In this place, it is the place, right. And it creates such an energy for the media, for the fans, for the players, for the NFL. They love that. And the final thing is that we do big events. It's muscle memory for us. You know, we kind of do it. You know, the thing when you're driving and you forget that you're driving, but you drive really well. That's how we do big events.
You're like, wait, how did I get home?
Right, exactly. You know, it's like that. You know, but sober, David. You know?
No, that's not what I meant. I meant just when you're in your routine, you go home after work, and you're like, I don't remember actually getting off at my exit and pulling into my driveway. But next thing I know, I'm in my driveway.
That's right.
New Orleans is at with doing these amazing events.
That's right.
And you talked about how 25 years ago, opening a restaurant, you had all that anxiety. I get the feeling more and more from everyone involved here that they're not feeling that anxiety. They're not worried about what the reaction of the world is going to be to New Orleans because they know we got this.
We got this. I think so. A reporter asked me that yesterday, said, what are you worried about? I think it was a reporter from the Journal. And I said, well, the known knowns we're good on. Like, we're good on that. The known unknowns, we actually have a pretty good catalog of those things. So we are prepared for them in every way, including security. Is a known unknown going to pop up?
Well, of course.
It always does.
They always do.
And so that's why we've got kind of that lateral, you know, vision going on and looking to see what's going to happen. But I totally agree with you, Dave. I think that there is a quiet confidence about doing these type of things. And you kind of feel that in everybody that you're speaking with.
Yeah, the team knows they can win. It's you almost liken it to the Kansas City Chiefs. They don't worry about now if they're down by two scores with 8 minutes to go in the game because they know they got that, and they have proven it, and we'll see if they prove it again. But New Orleans wins every time we do these things.
Yeah, it is true. It's, you know, back in the heyday of Drew and Sean, you know, we'd be down by a touchdown with 2 minutes to go, and you'd already be ready to collect. You know, we're going to win. You'd already be high-fiving because you knew it. And I think not that we're behind right now, but we're very good at this. The weather is cooperating, which is the one variable. And if it, you know, comes out this
weekend,
that's
huge.
Oh, it's going to be low 70s, sunny, clear, reasonably dry.
May hit 80 Saturday. Some people may say it's too hot, but that's a good problem to have.
Absolutely magical. And look, and the city, I must.
I'm coming down for the parade. I want to see the parade.
It's going to be great.
You know, it's just, it takes that Christmas parade route coming from the Marigny into the French Quarter onto Canal Street. I think it's going to be a great time.
Right by Jackson Square and the Cathedral.
And let me just take this chance to give a shout out to everybody at the city, at the state, at Sewer and Water Board, at nonprofits, at the private sector who have gotten this place together. You know, I'm looking up here at our guest who's coming on, Secretary Bourgeois, and when we started 6 or 7 months ago and looked at our list of 500-plus projects to get done, you know, we kind of drew our breath in and said, well, let's give it a shot. The fact that we're not only getting the vast majority, I think it's probably 95% plus of that list done, but things we didn't even imagine, like over 20 new murals going in. It's because everybody involved from the top on down just did the job with joy and competency, a great attitude. And you know, there's still some things that are getting finished right now when the curtains go up.
I saw some sidewalks being repaired as I walked here this morning. The phone service, cable truck were there, and they were there, folks putting brick pavers down.
It is, you know, it reminds me again, people ask, like, what's the role that Geno Inc. is playing in this? And I got to go back to the restaurant analogy. In a restaurant, there's something called the expediter. They're not the chefs. They're not actually doing the work. That's actually everybody at Sewer and Water Boards, you know, at DPW, DETD. And they're not the customers. The customers is the public. But the expediter is the one that's making sure the plates get to the right table.
Right.
And when a plate comes out and there's a little dribble of gravy on it, you're taking the napkin and wiping it off.
Sure.
And there's a lot of that going on right now, kind of making sure that when everything goes out, it's bon appetit. And the public's been great. They've been good with giving us, you know, saying, hey, there's some garbage on this exit, or, you know, there's a piece of sidewalk needs to be fixed. We've kind of crowdsourced this thing. And I'm just so grateful and proud of the
event. And I'm just thankful that you didn't check out after your pothole was repaired and you stayed the course.
There was that selfish moment, but
yes. we took a moment and celebrated, but said to whom much is given, and we continued filling potholes. Yes,
I would say one example though of kind of how you're still finishing and putting the touches on it is the Plaza Tower, because that was a tough curveball that kept. You just couldn't get over the finish line with that. But
that
I saw people hanging banners and putting up murals on the Plaza Tower on my way in.
So you remember like wiffle ball when there was that one ringer who'd put rocks in the ball or spit in it or whatever, and it's doing that thing. The fact that the team has gotten, two of the major banners up and the third one, which is going to be a huge Becky Foss on the Marble Foss show, goes up tomorrow, It was honestly like hanging up a pinata in the middle of a war zone. We got it done. I can't believe it. It looks great. It's advertising the city, advertising the state, our future energy. But I give, again, a lot of credit to the city, to the building owners, to everybody involved, including the attorneys. Everybody was trying to get us to yes in a way that kept the site safe. And I think that's what has characterized this entire effort. You've gotten people together who are not necessarily always working together and who have different incentives and different bosses, and everybody put the good of the state and the city and the Super Bowl as the North Star. And, again, it's cliche, but it shows you that when we do that, we're absolute world beaters.
Absolutely. We got to get to a break. We
probably
are visiting with Michael Heck from G&O Inc., as he joins us every Wednesday at this time, and we appreciate that. We will be right back from Media Row here at the host committee's booth on Media Row. Very well done, by the way.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Congratulations to y'all and everyone else that's participated in this, and thank you for hosting us here this week. We've had a great time so far. So we'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you. I know we've said it every day that it just gets crazier and crazier in here as we do our radio show, but it's true. Each day is getting exponentially more exciting, and more people are coming through, and we just got some chocolate brownie bites. We're going to get the crawfish boil and the fried shrimp going here in a minute, all these 6,000 credentialed media are getting to taste all this amazing food, all this amazing culture here, and we're having a good time. I'm Dave Cohen along with Newell Norman, and we got two guests now.
You know, a lot of folks don't realize that food is the way to success.
Yes.
you offer food at your booth, and guess what happens?
Yeah, people show up.
Well, quick, funny story. Years ago, when the Saints were really struggling and had that decades of bad run, we would have trouble during the post-game show getting players to come on to interview to talk about another loss. And so what we did was we started giving players a $100 gift card to Ruth's Chris if they would come on the show after the game. NFL players, millionaires, lined up to get $100 in free food.
Yeah.
Free food moves the needle,
no matter who you're talking about. It's true. It's fascinating. Well, Speaking of free food.
All we had to do was give the Secretary to Louisiana Economic Development just a little bitty brownie. Yeah.
I'm happy to be here now. I ran that over in a dose of Michael Hatt, right?
Yeah, Secretary, what happened? I don't know. They gave me a little brownie.
All right, so Susan Bourgeois is with us. That's who you're hearing. Michael Hecht is with us. Yeah. He's Neil Norman. I'm Dave Cohen. And what a week we're having, huh?
Yeah.
When you talk about economic development.
Sure. It's been a great kickoff already. I mean, it's, you know, no football pun intended, but just the few days we've had launching the pavilion that we've stood up to focus on the Louisiana economic opportunity, all the work Michael and the city and just the state at every level have done to see it start coming together in such big and meaningful ways. It's a great start.
So y'all have there's a big function Friday night, I know, and I think Saturday there's another. Is there a forum or something that's going to be held there that a lot of folks talking about, a big buzz about that?
Sure. There are two big functions. Friday night is a ticketed event. We're calling it the Governor's Gridiron, and it's leaders from across Louisiana, but as or more importantly, it's leaders from across the country. We've invited every CEO who's in town that we could get our hands on, right, to come and see this immersive experience, really. Just it's sort of museum, sort of exhibit hall, but it's immersive experience about the Louisiana economic opportunity. So the place will be full Friday night of those folks from all over the country. And then Saturday during the day, we're hosting a great event with partners from YPO, the Young Presidents Organization, which has members across the country, many of whom follow the Super Bowl anywhere, right? So they'd be coming to the city anyway, but they're going to spend 2 hours with us in more of a sit-down summit to really learn in depth about some of the opportunities, the more just in front of us opportunities in energy and innovation and that work.
Is that the big tent that's set up behind the Hilton parking lot?
It is. I hate to call it a tent, almost.
It's a building.
It's like a tent city.
It's a tent building that just came out from the ground in 3 weeks. It's called the Louisiana Now Pavilion, and it is multi-purpose, used the entire week for all kinds of functions and all kinds of purposes, but all centered around highlighting the economic opportunity of Louisiana.
You know, Michael, we spent a lot of time talking about the build-up to the Super Bowl. You and I have fielded many questions about, you know, why does it take a Super Bowl? And right. It's just simple. You leverage every opportunity that presents itself, and this is an opportunity, right?
Yeah.
And as we get closer, the focus is kind of shifting to after the Super Bowl.
That's right. So I guess two comments there, Newell. One is, as I've kind of reflected on this experience, I remembered or was taken back to when I was working in New York after 9/11, and the mayor was Bloomberg, but the deputy mayor was a guy named Dan Doktoroff, who led the bid for the 2012 Olympics for New York. And what happened was New York didn't win the 2012 Olympics. They actually went to London. But as a result of that, all of these projects, new parks like the Freshkill Parks in Staten Island, which is going to be for equestrians, the Hudson Yards development, the biggest new neighborhood in all of America, the High Line, one of the most exquisite examples of public architecture, extending the seven subway line, total revamping of their zoning.
New stadiums for the Mets and the Yankees.
New stadiums for the Mets, right. The Mets got city and the Yankees got a new stadium. All after Sheldon Silver killed the one on the west side. All of that was done under the impetus of getting the Olympics, and at a smaller degree, that's what we're doing here. We're using the Super Bowl as a forcing function to do all these things that we wanted to do anyway, and it's working. And the benefit, just like the benefit has benefited New York for a decade past the Olympics, is going to benefit us going forward. Now, the question has been raised, like you said, is, well, what about, you know, the day after? You guys are just going to walk away. And I'm thrilled that there's a commitment from the city to give everybody a break, but then to get back to the table using Mardi Gras as the next event, and then using Jazz Fest, and then using Essence. So to keep having these moving goalposts to get people excited about a deadline. And on the GNO Inc. side, and Susan knows this because she's a former chairwoman of GNO Inc., we've polled our entire membership, and everybody, including folks from Tangipaho, from Plaquemines, from the river parishes, without exception, 100% want GNO Inc. to stay involved in this, because they recognize that New Orleans. As New Orleans goes, so goes the whole region and state. And frankly, you know, you said you were going to GW Fins. They want to be able to take their spouses and friends down to the quarter. So everybody's on board to keep this rhythm going.
And Susan, that has to be music to your ears, because that, you know, as you engage corporate partners, executives from around the world, not just the United States, that kind of makes it a little easier for you, right?
It absolutely makes it easier. And I think there are two important things about what Michael said, is not only the practical application of we keep it going, right? There is the philosophical application of we all came together, we all agreed on a higher mission, right, if you will, right? And we all pulled on the rope in our own lanes, but we all still pulled on the same rope, and look what we accomplished. And so I think there's just, it's a critical example that we're offering the country and the world, that not only did we do the practical things like roads and sidewalks and lights and public safety and all those things, but we also all came together and put some more of the parochial politics aside and said we all need to do this the right way. And that sends a just as important message as a great road and a good sidewalk.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, Susan. It's been fascinating as I reflect back on this, is one, what a completely apolitical process this has been. And I don't just mean between the city and state where the coordination has been seamless, but even within the city and state where sometimes different departments can be competitive and their internal politics, there's been almost none of that.
And Michael, I want to add there, even within state agencies, to see DOTD just come to the table and start executing and executing and executing,
right,
just because it's the absolute right thing to do, right? And, you know, we know economic development's been at the table all along, but just to see state agencies do it, city agencies doing it, you know, the law enforcement, you know, agreement across the state, it's
right,
not just even the region, just to see the influx of law enforcement, you know, it just shows what we can do when we do put the other stuff, if you will, aside.
Yep. But, you know, the interesting thing, and my observation is, because I'm a political animal, right, is that it sets a new bar.
Right.
We have elections, you know, throughout the metro area that's going to be coming up, and in the city we have one that's going to be in October of 2025. I think it sets a new bar. And I think that's important.
I agree. I hope that everybody, you know, not only are expectations raised, but it's seen that we do not have to play small ball. We can play big ball. And I actually want to give a lot of credit to the governor. I think that Jeff Landry has been extraordinarily practical about this. That's the message that everybody has received. And even when you see things like after, you know, the terrible terrorist attacks on the 1st, it was never politicized at the local level. And I give him a lot of credit to setting that very practical, hard-charging, but really eye-on-results approach. And, yeah, I agree. We've set a new bar.
You know,
yeah,
the one criticism, if there's been any,
yeah,
has been, why does it take a Super Bowl to do all these things? And the fact that y'all are now saying, well, it may have taken a Super Bowl to do all of this, but it also showed us what we can do. And the $3 billion in private investment that's gone into just this area here in downtown New Orleans, along with the tens of millions of public dollars on infrastructure, those have got to be great selling points for both of you when you're looking to your economic development roles and trying to bring more business here.
They're incredibly strong selling points. And again, not just the practical application of them, but the feel and the, you know, what the CEOs from around the country and around the world, frankly, are feeling and seeing when they come here. And they see, you know, the governor and the mayor and the Secretary of Homeland Security, you know, and the head of state police and the head of, you know, NOPD walking down the street together. I mean, those are real. They're not just photo ops, right? And so it sends an incredibly powerful message that I expect and I believe we'll be talking about well after next Monday.
But let's be real about this, too, and back to the Super Bowl. The NFL has the largest corporate partnership probably of any organization out there, and the biggest corporations are involved,
yep,
with them. So 64 billionaires.
Yep.
In
yep.
town.
Yep.
Now, we don't like to brag about millionaires here, which I was always mystified by that. I'd like to have a million millionaires living.
Yes,
you know,
right. Agree.
In the metro area, right? You know, and it's always, like I said, mystified me that
it's a domestic Davos showing up now as a flex. If you want to see what a flex looks like, I can tell you, flexes float. go down by the water and look at the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars and his Frank Geary floating. It is stunning. It is like at James Bond levels.
This is a multiple hundred millions of dollars of yacht sitting on the Mississippi River.
I would say Arthur Blank's down by the Audubon Park hangs in there as well.
I'm sure it does. And so this is like yacht meets yacht. That's this whole experience. And
I'll call your yacht with
but I think it's getting this level of talent and ability, now including the first time that a sitting president, right, has ever come to a game. It elevates New Orleans in a way that a market this size never could otherwise. And when people ask what's the economic impact of the game, it's kind of an annoying question because, you know, yes, we're going to sell $500 million of tickets and hot dogs and beers, but the real benefit is the 2,000 corporate events that are going on around, but then the 150 million people around the world who are seeing a Louisiana that is open for business, a New Orleans that looks and feels brighter and better than ever despite the challenges, that has a brand value that is almost incalculable.
Yeah, and Newell, I do want 20 seconds to just, you know, I don't want to be the Mutual Admiration Society here with Michael, but in all fairness, we did this, and I don't know that we could have done this with anyone but Michael at the helm. And I mean that because this would not have worked if someone from Baton Rouge would have come down, or me as a former chair of Gino Inc. Nobody cares about that, right? And as Secretary of LED would have said, the governor wants me to come to New Orleans and help, right? That it wouldn't have worked. It wouldn't have worked if it was someone just from the city. There would have inevitably been politics involved in it. So but for Michael Hecht and Gino Inc. being the person and being the organization to be the expediter in your restaurant analogy, it doesn't happen this way.
Well, so somebody has to be Switzerland, right?
Right.
That's exactly right. And who better to be a dynamic Switzerland?
Who's going to be a weird guy with cuckoo clocks than Hecht?
Yeah. And I try to bring that forward every Wednesday, and that weirdness. And that.
Sure. You do a good job.
Cheese, chocolate, and cuckoo clocks.
Yeah. But here's what's interesting about that. And so, one, you know, immense credit to the GNO Inc. team. I'm seeing Matt Wolf over here and Ashley Ruckert and Leo John Arnett and the whole team. But I was talking to Terrence Osborne about this and saying it's really interesting because we've been effective at coordinating and catalyzing despite having no formal power, you know, at all. And Terrence, who I didn't realize is a Buddhist, he goes, oh, well, you've discovered the power of Wu. I said, what's the power of Wu? So I went and looked it up, and Wu is the Chinese term for emptiness. It's what you strive to achieve as a Buddhist because that's actually in that emptiness you find your meaning and purpose and power. And so I think it's kind of this fascinating thing that this soft power that we have, which is based on relationship capital and having a shared goal, is the way of the Wu. And sometimes pushing string or leading from behind can be challenging, but in this case, you know, it worked.
Back to what Susan was saying, there's always this kind of inherent friction between state and local, right? I mean, it
always has been, right?
I've lived it, you know, most of my adult life, and in lobbying the state legislature and
there are vast political differences locally versus statewide. There are vast cultural differences locally and statewide.
And it's like that everywhere. I mean,
it's not unique to here. But that, going back to why the Super Bowl, that's why. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's these rally cries and rally events that everybody can come together, and the friction, as you've so appropriately described, and you, Susan, as well, seemed to dissipate, go away, wasn't there, wasn't present. We were able to work, you know, through all of that stuff. And it's those points in the timeline of a city, of an organization, and the success of being able to capture that opportunity and make the most out of it. And who knows what the multiplier effect is of that's going to be going into the future.
And perhaps it required something as big as a Super Bowl.
And it may sound hokey. I mean, to some folks it sounds completely hokey, but when you work in these business enterprises and you see the tug of war, the push, the pull, the yin, the yang, you know, you have a better understanding of
maybe whatever it takes to bring everyone together.
Right. I think it requires something that's legitimately bigger than any of us individually. Right.
Sure,
it needs to feel that way. And what bigger than a Super Bowl? I mean, truly, just from a world stage perspective, in a good way, what bigger than a Super Bowl to go? That's bigger than any one of us. That's bigger than any one city, organization, level of government.
And jumping on what Susan said, the Super Bowl, even in the 11 years since the past one, has grown so much. It frankly is too big now for just a city, particularly a smaller city, to handle on its own. So I think people want to realize that having the governor this involved in the Super Bowl in a constructive, positive way, having Secretary Bourgeois, LED, being a lead organization in the Super Bowl, this has never happened before. And I think it's probably
going to where we are right now, double the size of the last Super Bowl here.
11 years.
The NFL experience, double the size of what it was 11 years ago. So that gives you
it's
an
going
idea.
Like that. I don't think it's going to change. I think that the secretary and the governor are setting a new precedent for maybe even for around the NFL for using this as an economic development stage. We asked the folks in Vegas and in L.A. and in Minneapolis and New York, hey, what was the economic development kind of angle? And they were always like, well, I don't know. We took some people to dinner, but they didn't conceive of it as a sales event. And so I don't know if other people will model on this. But certainly, I don't think we're going to ever go back.
It's too much of an investment not to do that,
right,
though.
That's right.
It's amazing you think about a city like Vegas or Phoenix or all the other places where the Super Bowl has been. How do you put that much time, effort, and money into something and not work that hard to reap the benefits?
And how do you also not take advantage of the opportunity? I don't know if you've told your listeners this yet, but there's 6,000 credentialed media in this building that we're sitting in or who have access to this building. Where else would we as Louisiana Economic Development or Michael
never,
as GNO Inc.
Doesn't
be
exist.
Able to get, right? Well, how could we not take advantage of that opportunity that's before us? So it's both sides of that same coin. We've already invested the resources. We need to maximize them. But also, where else do we get the opportunity?
We had a guest yesterday from the ESPN of the UK. I can't remember the name of the organization.
It's just ESPN with an E on the end of it. Like town.
But he has been broadcasting Super Bowls for a number of years. You know what he said yesterday? He goes, when people ask me, you know, of the times that I come to this country and I visit, you know, all these cities and I've been to all these Super Bowls, they ask, what's your favorite cities? This one, right here.
Yeah.
He goes, I tell folks, this is the best city to visit if you're going to come to the United States. And he goes, they are welcoming, they're friendly, there's culture. There's food, there's drink, there's an experience
here. And
you
want that to happen 5,999 more times with the rest of all of the national and international journalists here. We got to take a break. When we come back, we'll peel back more of the layers. We went from not like us to woo with Michael Hecht. So we're going to peel back that onion some more. Michael Hecht, he's got all kinds of levels, folks, that we were hearing. And Susan Bourgeois will be with us as well. I'm Dave Cohen along with Newell Norman. We're live from the host committee booth here on Media Row at the Montreal Convention Center. Super Bowl in town for a record-tying 11th time here in New Orleans. DJ El Camino strikes again.
It's the way of the woo.
Michael Hecht bringing the way of the woo to WWL.
Producing on the side.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, a DJ El Camino
he's a leader
event
in
is
all
synonymous
aspects.
With Super Bowl, you know, in many respects.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for Kendrick to give me the call for the now here's the question. Is there gonna be a Kendrick Taylor Lil Wayne situation at halftime? Because I think Kendrick and Taylor actually had a track together. I think he has a verse on a Taylor Swift track, and I know that Lil Wayne does, so
Michael, you're teeing up some drama here. People are going to think you know something.
No, I don't. No. Just disclaimer. I know nothing.
Something tells me Taylor Swift will stay in the box watching her boyfriend play football.
Because
if she's got to be in the halftime show, she wouldn't get to watch the game before that.
All right. Yeah, I know. I know. As Susan said, I know nothing. That's actually true.
We had a sportscaster
about this
yesterday on the show from KC, and we asked him about the Taylor Swift effect, and I said, you know, at first it was a little, uneasy, people didn't know.
And a lot of dads tired of them showing Taylor on the big screen.
They are full-on Swifty fans now. They are thankful that she goes to the games. He said it's actually, you know, guys and their daughters are going to the football game now. Their daughters are involved. They're following the Kansas City Chiefs.
Fully accepted her into the Chiefs kingdom.
Yeah.
So yesterday I did a number of interviews.
27.
I did 27 interviews yesterday all over the country.
This girl's working hard for this.
It's very intimidating.
Selling Louisiana.
But one of them was Kansas City. And so when the team of people who were with me showed, you know, next we're going to Kansas City, first of all, I realized I was in a red suit with a tan shirt. So I thought for Kansas City, that worked out well. And I was prepared for football talk. Do you know what they asked me about? Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift.
All the Kansas City interview was about, they wanted to talk to me about Taylor Swift coming to the city, and that she, three of the songs from her most recent album were actually cut here
right,
in New
Esplanade
Orleans.
Studios, yeah.
That is what we talked about in my Kansas City interview. I got to talk about the Louisiana economic opportunity just a little, but it was primarily a Taylor Swift interview.
I think what's so important about the Super Bowl, if you take away from it, is that in a world that's so fractured by politics and social media, the Super Bowl is one of the last remaining unifying monocultural events that everybody will go to, everybody will talk about, everybody has an angle. And so we need that. It's unifying, and it's kind of wholesome.
And it really, if you think about it, you know, just from an outsider perspective, even if you don't love football, you might watch it for the commercials, right? The corporate America side. You know, you might watch it for the halftime show if you're into entertainment. It really does cover Americana in so many ways.
And you talk about people watch it for the commercials, but in and out of every one of those commercial breaks, you're going to see whether it's a lit-up St. Louis Cathedral, a drone shot down Bourbon Street.
The Dome.
The exterior of the Superdome. You're going to see iconic New Orleans and Louisiana imagery going in and out of all those commercial breaks.
Yeah, I think now it just hit me. I've been trying to figure out what is the last Super Bowl was about the reintroduction of New Orleans post-Katrina. We're back and better than ever. I think that this Super Bowl is going to be New Orleans as a character in the drama. I mean, New Orleans is so present. It really is the protagonist in this Super Bowl. It's everywhere. It's positive. It brings people joy. And so it's almost feeling like this is the Super Bowl of New Orleans, maybe.
Agreed.
Yeah. It's I have just been blown away by – I was walking back to the studio yesterday, and on South Peters, where the refinery is. It's an Airbnb facility there. Yep. And there was a restaurant right, and I can't ever remember the name of it. So I'm walking down, and there's this whole facade on the front of the restaurant, and I'm like, oh, they're reopening because they had closed down.
Right.
And I get closer and closer, and I see that it's all mock stuff. Rouse
right.
is the sponsor
right.
of the commissioner's dinner
Correct.
There. And they redid the entire restaurant.
It's a pop-up. That's right.
It's a Rouse pop-up.
It's a pop-up. And, I mean, I look in, and, I mean, just elegantly decorated on the inside.
And the building's beautiful. I remember passing the building and saying.
So I'm talking to the owner's wife, and I said, it's so nice that you, because we stay down there for Mardi Gras.
Right.
And I said, it's so nice that you have
great space.
A pizzeria that opened next door. And she starts laughing. And she goes, no, that's the NFL. They open a Brooklyn pizzeria there, and they're delivering pizzas to whoever, and because the Super Bowl is on National Pizza Day.
There's always some time. You know,
of
but
course
it's,
it is.
The fact that you point that out, though, you think of everybody locally who benefited from just that one pop-up.
Right.
There
sure.
were carpenters. There were folks who were selling all the carpeting.
Electrician. Carpeting, staging, the whole
just people yards. Hanging pipe and drape,
That's
people
right.
washing the linens,
right.
people, I mean, every single piece of that put money in people's pockets here in New Orleans that would not have otherwise had.
And it's happening, let's be real, guys, and it's happening at Super Bowl rates, which is not a discount.
Right.
So,
right.
We have to be, I think when we come do the post-game analysis, we're going to have to try to figure out, I'm looking at Susan about this, truly, to the state, what was the direct impact? That's easier. You can get that from sales tax receipts, right?
Right.
What was the indirect? So you have to understand what industries are likely correlated and measure them, and then use some common industry metrics to understand the media. This event's going to be potentially a multi-billion-dollar event.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And there's a lot you can't track by taxes.
That's right.
All right.
And the reputational impact.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
This hour went by fast, and we are out of time.
Yes,
thank
absolutely.
You both so much. Michael Heck, Susan Bourgeois, for joining us. I'm Dave Cohn, along with Newell Norman. We'll be back right after this from the New Orleans Super Bowl Host Committee booth here in the Convention Center. All right, we're live here on Radio Row at the Host Committee booth, having a great time. And the president and CEO of New Orleans & Company, Walt Leger, joins us coming up after the news. And we'll see what special guests we can pick out of the crowd as well. It's crazy down here.